Coming up today, we're going to finish our bracket for the best Disney song ever. We have some news to talk about, and we have a trip preview that we're going to discuss. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, and all to Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I'm your host this week, and I am joined today by John.
I got the humidity, humidity, and the slimy, slimy.
Apparently, the Swedish chef is taking John's place.
Dok, dok, dok.
But I also have a Jason.
What's up, everybody?
Jason.
I'm trying to be like you, Adam.
Yeah. What's up, everyone?
What? Oh, you did the boo? Yeah, because I couldn't really do that today.
I didn't get it in there. You know, what?
What's up, everybody?
Boo. That's how you spell it. It's B-W-H-A-T.
Something like that, yeah. If you had to spell it.
Z, probably.
Yeah. If you had to do captions, I have no idea what it would try to do, but anyway.
What it would look like.
What would it look like? So Jason is our tiebreaker this week for finishing our bracket. We used ChatGPT last week, and there's probably a few matchups.
It would have been changed.
Yeah, that would have probably come out different, but also...
an alternative bracket. If you're doing the basketball tournament, you can on ESPN, you can make up to 25 brackets.
Oh, wow.
I don't recommend we do that many, though.
Well, if we had put more effort into it as well, I think we would have had better songs. I thought of a bunch more from the parks I would have included, but
we'll have to log that away for a future.
Yeah.
The next time around.
Next year will be literally the best song.
Next year it's just gonna be all Tiamat's Bayou Adventure songs.
Maybe. Could be a whole bracket.
You think you can come up with how many did we start with? 32? We didn't go 64, did we?
No, we didn't. I mean, that would have taken forever. But yeah. No, we didn't.
Either way, we are down to, what are we into?
Eight.
Okay.
Elite. I wouldn't call these elite eight, but there's at least four of them that are really good.
So they're just eight.
Some bad songs got in somehow.
They're just eight.
Well, we had four categories. The four categories we had were classic Disney, like animation, modern, then it was live action.
Yeah.
And then it was the parks. So
came up with that all by ourselves.
Yeah, right.
Did we decide that we can just ignore the live action part and go with the original?
I mean, no, but
let's just say it's not likely to make it past the final four.
Yeah. Well, from that category, the final two are Reflection from the live action Mulan versus Belle from the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Tough one. I'm going to go with Reflections just because I like the fact that it was sung by the original artist and it was done well. So.
Okay.
Christina sung it yet again.
I'm the tiebreaker. You have to go next, Adam.
Well, you're not the tiebreaker if we don't tie. Because I think I would probably pick that one too, actually. Reflection. That'd probably be my choice.
So the only question is...
Y'all are
going
to deny Hermione the win? Really?
We are
come
in this,
on now.
We are in this case.
Belle. Belle wins.
He's going with Belle.
All right. Well, Reflection moves on, though. Because that's what I pick.
Your opinion matters not.
Yeah. Well, there we have it. So, again, that category is not my favorite, but that's...
It's not likely to win. That's what I said.
Correct.
Oh, we're going to band together in the next round to vote through Reflections one more time.
Jason's trying to form an alliance like there's a survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Didn't y'all do a bracket? I have like $1,000 riding on this.
Oh. We've got a Pete Rose situation here. Interesting.
All right. Show and die. Or what is it?
Yeah, I didn't even come to the first round of votes, but once there was some money on the line, here I am to influence.
There's no betting on baseball. Okay. Modern animation. Let's do this category next. And this is a tough matchup, I would say. How Far I'll Go from Moana versus We Don't Talk About Bruno from Encanto.
It's kind of a tough one. You know, if we were using a different song from Moana, I'd probably take it. But I think I'm going to go with Bruno.
I'm going to go with Moana on this one, How Far I'll Go.
Oh, so we have a tiebreaker.
That'd be my choice.
I mean, of course it's a catchy song that We Don't Talk About Bruno is, but it is not one you want to hear all the time. It would get stuck in your head like an earworm. Yeah. But you want to feel uplifted and happy. You want to know how far you'll go.
Okay.
That's why I'm one. Obvious winner. Come on, John. Me and Adam.
Well, it's a good, it's a
there
good
was $100 on that game. I'm just kidding.
It's a good song, but it's not my... it's not even my favorite song from Moana. My favorite song from Moana is the Away Away song.
Away. Actually, there's a lot of good songs in that.
There is.
It's almost like they got someone really good at writing songs.
Yeah. Just like Encanto, though. Okay. These are the better two categories. So we're down to When You Wish Upon a Star and A Whole New World. This was the animated one. It's considered classic, even though it's Renaissance era, which I guess now would
tough
be
tough call for me.
When you wish upon a star, I mean, I gotta go with that one. That's probably the most iconic.
It's the most iconic, but I mean, when if I had to choose which one do I like better, I think I kind of like A Whole New World better.
Well, I'm going with Wish Upon a Star.
So you're leaving it up to me again.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to say A Whole New World for me. We're going to leave it up to Jason for a second time.
I mean, When You Wish Upon a Star, right, that sits with you for a moment. But when you think about how you feel and what's going to bring out that emotion and be something you want to listen to and just sing along in the car, come on now. A Whole New World every single time.
What? You are going to betray the most, like, recognizable song associated with Disney.
So that's what you're going to play along in the car? Hey, kids, you want to listen to When You Wish Upon Us? No, you're going to want to...
Yeah, but...
I can show you the world.
So what song would you
don't
rather
you dare
have
close your eyes
when you drive through the arches of...
Oh, yeah, when you're driving through the arches, of course. That's the appropriate time to play that.
Leh. Okay.
They're both, you know what, they're both songs used frequently in, like, nighttime shows, right? At least now, like, lately.
Right. Okay. Well, this is not what I expected. It's not what I predicted.
You're in shock. You're in shock. This is just like the basketball tournament.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, this is a huge upset, in my opinion.
I told you there was a lot of riding on this.
Yeah, I guess so, because... I actually thought this would win the whole thing.
Adam's going to stop talking to us. I'm never coming back. He liked it when ChatGPT sided with him.
Yeah, speaking of, let me, just out of curiosity, let me ask.
You going to see who was going to win?
Because I'm like, I need somebody to agree with me here. Okay, here we go. ChatGPT is talking. Choosing between When You Wish Upon a Star and A Whole New World is like choosing between two quintessential Disney experiences. One that represents timeless magic of Disney's past, and another that captures the adventurous spirits of its renaissance. Do I have to go? It's still talking, so I'm not going to read all this. But if I had to pick, I might lean towards When You Wish Upon a Star. The song is iconic, not just in its film, but in how it represents the Disney ethos as a whole. Yeah. Its melody... no matter what your age, transports you back to the first time you believed in magic.
I mean,
and wishes coming true. However, the choice is incredibly subjective and depends on what resonates with you more personally. The promise of dreams fulfilled or the thrill of new adventures.
Okay.
So
what I'm hearing is that Adam has been brainwashed by the GPT bot.
The AI.
The AI has hypnotized him.
I think it made a great point, though, that...
Get it.
That you're wrong?
No, that it represents the Disney ethos as a whole.
Well, that's what we were saying that made it this far, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't make it, makes it make it all the way to the end.
Okay. I don't know.
It means that it makes it all the way to the end.
Well, here we go.
Move along.
Here's the next. It's the parks matchup.
The parks.
Grim Grinning Ghosts versus Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
You sang that in. You sang it right on in.
Yeah, it did.
Well, I know which one I'm going with.
I think I know.
With the cryptos creak and the tombstones quake.
And I'm going to go with Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow because Sherman Bros.
Hello. One of these songs has Thurl Ravenscroft. I mean.
Well, the other was written by the Sherman Brothers. So, I mean, how can you not go with that one?
Well, yeah, well, one of them was written by Extensio.
This is probably Walt's favorite song, by the way. Just saying.
Okay, so we have Adam voting for Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Yeah.
John voting for Thurl Ravenscroft and the Grim Grinning Ghosts. You know, there's a couple of things. Grim Grinning Ghost, of course, is always a classic. So is It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. I've been thinking about inscribing something Disney permanently onto my body. I have no tattoos, and I've been thinking, if I was to get a tattoo, what would I get? I wouldn't just want a Mickey, too basic. I want to get It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow tattooed on the arm, and if it's going to make it on the arm, it's the number one. Come
on. For a minute there, I thought you were going to say you wanted Thurl Ravenscroft tattooed on your arm.
No.
First.
I'm going to go with my man Shane back at Parkeology and be on the Wally Bogue train.
Wally Bogue doesn't have anything to do with Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
I'm just saying, between Thurl and Wally.
So I think I see your...
Maybe we should consider that for one of the categories next year as like Disney icons type deal, like... Disney Legends like category.
Let's get a bracket where Joe Rohde goes up against Bob Chapek.
Yeah.
People who have Disney been named legends.
Yeah, there you go.
Not in their own mind.
I don't think you have to name Chapek to be a legend. I think, you know, there's like the good legends and then the infamous legends.
Or we have a villainous legends edition.
And villains bracket.
Yeah. Ooh, this is good.
I wish we'd have thought of this sooner.
We're not going to remember this next year.
I'm going to put I'm going to put some kind of reminder. I'm going to start putting on my calendar right
put
now.
Put a calendar invite for next March for us to do this. We have to wait for Joe Rohde to be a Disney legend first.
Right.
Like exactly.
And
then if next year they announce Chapek, we'll include him.
Oh my gosh.
We'll just include him. We'll have a bracket of former CEOs.
Well, what's going to happen is...
Hey, there you go. Former CEO bracket. That's a pretty good idea.
If people vote the Peltz ticket, then we'll be pining for the days of Bob Chapek.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. We'll be interesting.
In case you're wondering, you know, we don't usually take very firm stances on this podcast. And I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not the most informed, but I have maybe a slight bias. I voted for the board ticket. I voted with Iger with my shares. I know it's gonna sway a lot in the big scheme of the vote.
John voted.
Interesting. Oh yeah, I did. It'll be interesting to see how this. Do they actually give? I don't know what you would say. Results. Like, can you see how
they
it do? Ended up?
They have to put it out there in the shareholder meeting.
How it ended up in the shareholder meeting?
Okay, but it's basically down to like the 5-10 biggest shareholders. They just have to sway the like mutual funds and all that stuff.
So apparently it's close enough that it's a big deal, it seems like. I don't know. We'll see.
There's enough support.
It's going to be between now and the next time that we talk, it's going to be decided.
While you're there next week. It's next week and then like April 6th or something.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
You're going to be there. No, when is it? I forgot. It's early April. I remember that. It's not the 6th, obviously. Anyway.
Well, whatever it is.
We'll talk about it
It'll be on a future episode of Traveling with the Mouse.
Okay, so it sounds like Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow won that.
Oh, is that still... Did we wind back to the bracket? Wow. We finally made it back.
Yes, we looped back. I asked ChatGPT, and it also picked Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. But
I mean, it's shining at the end of every day.
Boo.
I mean, do you want to know what it said? Oh, probably not.
No, please.
We should gloat over John for winning that time. I feel like it was last round I was gloating with John against Adam, and now
yes, I can't believe you went against when you wish upon a star. I'm still stunned by that one. But
look, you just got a victory. Take it. Move on.
The Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow song's message of optimism and looking forward to a bright future resonates deeply in today, especially in today's world. Wow, AI. It captures Walt Disney's.
Way to take a stance.
Yeah.
Should we ask ChatGPT if it's voting with pelts or ice?
Oh. Should
it
I? Yeah,
it won't respond.
Yeah, because it'd be like, my data's like not up to date enough on that. Anyway. It's down to the final four now, but we'll do that in a minute. Let's do some news. The big news, well, one of the big news of the week, Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And that's John, amazing. You were in digging into the conspiracy theories on this about the
conspiracy theory. No, they did something similar with Tron, remember?
Yes, they did, but they also announced it like the next day.
True.
So I'm like, why are they?
Well, again, this is one of those things where, like, we're not saying it is, but it could be. Like, what was the right. What's the whole purpose of them?
With, all right, just take us through the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they announced some new critters.
Right.
Coming to the attraction. So some animules. There's with names. So there's Balia the Beaver. How do you say that?
Yeah, I think it's Cajun, but I don't remember how to pronounce it.
Balia the Beaver. Okay, so there's a beaver. Gritty the Rabbit. And this is the one that is, he's doing the Gritty. But we'll get back to him. Bo the Possum and Apollo the Raccoon. Rufus the Turtle. Timoleon, did I say that right? The otter. So new characters, but the one in question is Greedy the Rabbit, who's holding a license plate. He plays the washboard, which is basically the license plate. That's his musical instrument. He plays it with the handle of the hoe.
But the significance was what was on the license plate.
Right. So he says LA, which I assume is Louisiana. And then it says 23, but then it's 52872 are the numbers on it.
And so what are the secrets of the numbers here?
Well,
528.
Yeah, I was going to say,
why did we ignore the 23, though?
The LA was for Louisiana, 23, they think, when the characters were named. That's what was... Oh, 2023. That's what this specific one said. And then the rest... They were thinking 528 might mean pass holder preview and 7-2 might mean
the actual
opening. You think they're that planned at this moment?
I'm just saying that that's what was brought out there. I didn't say I created that. I'm just saying that they think they're saying there could be some significance to this like they did with Tron.
Yeah. I feel like if there was, they would have announced the opening, like the pass holder by now.
I don't remember how soon after it was with Tron. It was... pretty quick, but I don't remember how soon.
The day after, maybe it was.
Was it that quick?
Yeah, I feel like it was like the morning they released that, and then the afternoon they.
I will tell you why. Genuinely, I don't think that's what this is because they didn't like tweet this out or anything like they did the Tron thing. I think they were. I think if they're going to do that, they're going to try to be obviously not obvious. I guess does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, did they pull these numbers out of nowhere, though? I mean, they have to mean something, though.
That's what you would think, kind of like the numbers in Toy Story, right? The whatever that is that always shows up everywhere.
They don't do anything without some meaning, right? They usually...
Exactly. That's why people kind of started thinking about this. Like, oh, what does this mean? Could it have something to do with the opening date? Could it be, you know... I feel like there is some significance to it. We just haven't figured it out yet, or someone hasn't figured it out yet.
Well, what happens if the dates move?
They'll change the artwork.
You think they've already committed to the printing of multiple license plates for the character to hold, depending on what they actually do?
I don't know.
They're going to put out a new one that has like a totally different set.
Right. If this is going to be on the attraction that he's holding it, then there's got to be a reason.
I guess what the point there was why is he holding this? I mean, a license plate makes no sense.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody else was holding anything. He was the only person holding anything. One thing I noticed about that, the beaver, right?
Yes.
Is the design reminded me of that squirrel from the original Sword in the Stone movie. You remember when there were squirrels and there was that one that was like a adult squirrel that was sweet on him, sweet on Merlin?
Yeah.
That's what it kind of looked like, the design looked like.
It does.
Even though it's not supposed to be a squirrel, a beaver, but, you know, I'm just saying the face looked kind of like that. I was wondering if there was like a, if that was almost like an Easter egg type thing.
The turtle reminded me of the, Robin Hood?
Yeah, Robin Hood, the nerdy one.
Yeah. Like, made me think of that too. But anyway.
Toby. I don't know why I remember this. His name was Toby in Robin Hood.
And the otter, actually, the face looks like the dog from one of the, why am I blanking? What movie? Looks like the dog. Doesn't look like an otter's face. But anyway. Spring break crowds are kind of crazy this week. We saw Genie Plus at $39 a day.
I'm very excited for that next week. I'm like...
You're probably going to be paying that every day.
I already let Andrew know he's not going to college.
Yeah, right.
They have to pay for Genie.
Right. Golly.
I'm curious as to how busy it'll be next week in comparison to what it was. What was it, like 2 weeks ago?
This week.
Yeah, this week has been
nuts. Yeah, but there was a break for it in between that and the week leading up to Easter.
On the day we're recording this, Adam and I were hanging out earlier today. It was like a 120-minute wait from Mission Space.
Green or orange?
Right.
They didn't. Orange, but still. It's the last time you saw anything over 40 for orange.
Hmm. 120-minute wait for orange. I don't know that I've ever seen this. A two-hour wait for orange?
Right.
There had to be like a technical reason for that, right? Like they didn't have enough, like...
I don't know, but... Maybe suddenly Orange is making a comeback. You know, everybody's like,
I guess.
Maybe there's a Save Mission Space crowd out there we haven't figured out.
Well, they can have Orange. I am not an Orange guy nowadays.
Yeah, I every time I do Orange, usually with someone new, that you're like showing around Disney and you're like, do you want to do the less intense or the more intense? They're like, oh, the more intense. I'm like, are you sure? And I'm like, I don't really want to do it, but if that's what you want to do, and then you get on it, you're like, I'll be fine. And you get off, you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah. Wow. I remember back when there was nothing but intense. They didn't have two sides the first time I read it.
I know. That's why it was very unpopular.
No, but I'm saying, I remember the very first time we wrote it, my brother was not listening to what they said about the not looking around, and that's like the first thing he did, and he got off. He got feeling bad when he got off. He was feeling pretty rough when he got off.
Yeah, lesson learned.
Yeah.
The hard
and
way.
And it says, don't close your eyes. And then the first thing you do when you start feeling bad, close your eyes. So,
yeah, that would, I could imagine. I have never closed my eyes in there, but I could imagine that would make it horrible.
Yeah.
I have never taken that chance.
You have to, like, breathe like this.
We'll see. Oddly enough, when you have something to focus on, you don't think about what's happening. But when you close your eyes, it's like your other senses take over.
Your other senses take over when
you close your eyes. So that's the issue.
Yeah. If I knew I was spinning like that, I would probably not enjoy it. If you knew it was actually happening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this news story as well and kind of get this out of the way, because we don't really know the details yet on this, because I think, but
you're
of course,
really excited about this story, I can tell. Just get it out of the way.
Well, I mean, it's the big story of the week that everybody will be talking about and has been talking about, but we don't really know the outcome yet of it. But the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District and Disney reached a preliminary settlement, I'll say, on the are working together, like the state lawsuit and all that, they're going to drop and they're going to work together, supposedly. Both sides have kind of said, you know, this is great and we're going to move forward kind of thing. But it really isn't super clear, at least not to me yet, what is actually going to come out of this. And, you know, is Disney going to maintain control? It kind of looks like it, but they're kind of still going to have the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District. So what do you guys read into this so far?
I read into
the cynical side would say DeSantis sees it as an opportunity to call it a win now and then also try to come out being triumphant hero, partnering with Disney later as he gives them all sorts of breaks to try to race Universal and sort of create a war, a theme park war in a state against them. They all keep investing more money.
The theme park war already exists.
Yeah. I don't know, but he saw that Disney wasn't spending, and so he decided to...
Yeah, I think now it's like, we need, because he mentioned Epic Universe like three different times during this press conference. He did.
I know. So it's almost like he's like, I'm siding with Disney. We're gonna take this bad boy down.
Well,
E-World's over there like, yeah, we might build a coaster.
But they can't. Nobody cares.
This is kind of what I think I alluded to a few weeks back.
I did listen back to some. One of the most recent ones we did, maybe you mentioned this specifically before that, but you had said, something to the effect of it'll kind of just fade into the background. Mm-hmm. And
the original reasons for this coming about already has.
Yeah.
It's not even at the forefront of it. So I think this is pretty obvious that both sides are going to call it win-win when in reality it's really lose-lose. But they'll call it win-win.
I mean, come on, let's just admit, of course, even all things are equal. Central Florida Tourism Oversight District it's just not a good name.
Doesn't sound as cool as Reedy Creek Improvement District.
What's going to happen going forward? Is this going to be more of Disney's going to have some people on in Florida, the state's going to have some people on, it's going to be more of a joint effort now than it was before, but it's still not going to be, it's still good. It's changed forever as it is, but at the same case, it's also not going to be, because they're going to be able to do what they wanted to do, ultimately.
Yeah.
We're not going to have news stories about every little thing going forward anymore.
Right.
It's just not going to be reported on,
Yeah. I think they both needed to get this behind them, so the better if they can work
and
something
out.
And
it's no surprise that we reached this resolution, if you want to call it that, after DeSantis was out of the race. So.
Yeah. That was like a big campaign speech.
And I think for Disney's interest, instead of dragging this out, they need to
get... It was a strategy. Yeah. Right. That's what it boils down to. It was a strategy. It was a campaign strategy.
Right. But Disney needs to put this behind them so that they can start building, because they got to compete. Yeah.
That was never going to be... I mean, like I said, it was never going to be an issue long term.
I think the whole stare down was if, DeSantis and folks had escalated by sort of holding back on construction, that's when Disney would have ratcheted up their spend, and it would just escalated the battle higher, and it was no longer prudent to escalate the battle higher because, as you said, DeSantis wasn't running for president anymore. So
now it's in the state's interest for Disney and Universal to just try to outdo each other again.
Just to take everybody's money.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
I was talking to Adam earlier this week about if we listened back a year ago when I went for spring break and I met up with you, Adam, and I remember the trip report, I complained about the price of Genie Plus, and now we're talking about it being $39.
Yeah.
I think last year I was complaining it was like $32 or something. It's like, is it going to be a year from now or like going down for spring break? It looked like it's going to be $50 a day.
Yeah.
$60. What do you think it would be in a year? What do you think the spring break Genie Plus price will be 1 year?
I don't think it'll reach that far.
It will definitely break 39 probably
next year,
by Christmas. Holiday season this year will hit in the 40s at least. 45 minimum. That would be my guess.
But they're going to keep selling out no matter what they price
it. It just keeps creeping up. So,
well, that's what
your friend went with you, Adam, and they said they would have paid like $100.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He said that. He did say that.
And we repeated it on here, so.
I know, right?
If they were going to charge that kind of price, I would say it would need to be not as restrictive.
Yeah.
That way.
Like, get rid of the ILLs, but they're making money off that too, so.
I was talking to Adam about, like, I'm going on a solo trip next week, and it's like, I've got this budget, and but I have to put aside $100 a day just for lightning lanes. And
right.
Because if you buy, which I'm not going to do every day, but if you buy the Genie Plus, two lightning lanes or ILLs, for one person, you're almost at $100.
Yeah, depending on which part. And that was the other thing we talked about, and I've complained about this numerous times, is that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is not a worthy ILL. So, I mean, yes, anymore. It's popular only because it's lower capacity and, you know, gets a long line, but don't need two ILLs at Magic Kingdom, like, but whatever.
John, Adam and I were talking earlier this week or today, whenever we talked about this, and I think I made a fairly controversial statement that Adam found surprising, and I want to get your take. I said that Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is the least thrilling coaster in Magic Kingdom.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say with any definite that you're right. I mean, I think there's an argument to be made there because
I think the Barnstormer first drop, even though it's like 20 seconds,
right,
outdoes the whole.
That's why I said there's an argument to be made. But then again, you got to think about what Mine Train really is. It's designed to be kind of a hybrid. It's a dark ride slash coaster.
Right. It is.
So,
yeah.
You don't put the dark ride slash coaster on an ILL. You put the
I guess
big coaster, the one big coaster, just charge for Tron. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. The fun part about Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is going up the lift hill and singing hi-ho at the end of the... That's the best part.
And then the dancing Snow White without a horn.
Yeah. But as far as like... The thing with Mine Train for me is it doesn't hold a lot of repeatability as far as...
The dark ride part is the best part. The coaster part is like...
It's become... Ooh. Yeah.
And that's
it's kind of become for me one of those that I would just do like every once in a while. I wouldn't even do it every trip necessarily.
So do you agree it should not be an ILL then?
Yes, but I think one of the reasons why they're doing it is the number of attractions in Magic Kingdom, and they think it's probably going to throw off their dynamic when it comes to the rest of Genie Plus.
I think it's because of money.
I mean, you say that, but I mean, they had plenty that they took off of it before, I mean, in other parks, right? And when they adjusted it, so.
I think it would book up really fast, just like Slinky Dog does, but Slinky...
In Magic Kingdom, they've already got several that book up pretty quick, right? Like Peter Pan and Jungle Cruise. I guess you could say
Jungle
that would
Cruise
create more.
Jungle Cruise is the first one you got to get.
Yeah, right now.
Jungle Cruise, Pan. What's another one that's so popular one on regular?
It wouldn't be.
Base Mountain, I guess, to a degree.
Train. Yeah. But Mine Train.
But Mine Train would thin that out a little bit, is what I'm saying. I don't think that's what they want.
Yeah. And then the other question that we pondered was, with Tiana's opening, will they do boarding groups? Will they do just
initially
regular? Will they make that an ILL?
What will be interesting is, are they going to take the boarding groups away from Tron and give it to Tiana's?
And just make Tron a standby slash ILL?
They have enough room queue-wise at Tron to do that.
And they made the queue Guardians really, really bad so that you do not want to wait in it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Unlike Guardians, you actually at least have one.
You know, what a terrible queue from the newest rides. Of course, it's a clone. I assume the one in Shanghai is just as bad, but that's not a fun queue at all.
Yeah, you get stuck in a room for 30 minutes where the first time you hear the spiel of, in the rock, there are winners.
There are losers.
There are losers.
Who
are you? And then by the time you're out of the room, you're like, I think I'm in a mental institution. I've heard this 100 times.
Right.
And outside, it just has one of those classic back and forths, right?
Yep.
Word. So, all right. D23 is sold out for this
year. D23 is sold out. Okay.
Did Adam DeWoo ever get a ticket?
He did, yes. He actually did.
Well, we'll get to see it then. We'll probably get to see it from a number of people, but Adam the Woo's take will probably be one of the funnest.
Yeah.
Do you know what I love about Adam the Woosh Channel?
What?
He is one of the most entertaining with the least amount of effort.
That's
he doesn't really
point,
have to yeah. put a lot of effort into his videos to make them look good and everything.
He has a way with words, too, that yeah. is different than most.
Either. Well, he himself is entertaining. That's yeah, one yeah. of the things that helps.
Yeah. I remember when we took our kids to Dragon Con, yeah. and Adam there, Blue yeah. was walking past the parade, and they got, like, so excited. They yeah. went selfies with him.
Yeah.
There you go.
And he was kind enough to walk over and let him take a picture. Yeah. It was very nice of him to do. Anywho, all right, yeah, but D23 sold out. We're not going. I actually, you know, yeah, long story, but.
You joined the queue. It was, you were like a millionth in line, and you just yeah. didn't want to wait. And
I
then
I was
it wouldn't work anyways.
I was in like the 30,000s or whatever, yeah.
And your so age many, started to show.
Yeah. They had so many issues. Yeah, it took hours to, and then they had to stop it for a while, and, you know, it was not great. Just like all the other virtual queues they have for
at,
you know, getting a reservation for something, it's a disaster. But anyway.
We'll have to ace it soon, hopefully, for a pass holder preview.
Yeah, I know, because I'm thinking that's going to be announced very soon. I would think, so. Anyway. Let's finish this bracket, and then we've got to get to the trip preview stuff. So
we've previewed some of it. It won't take long.
But we've got several things to talk about. So the final four, Whole New World versus Reflection. I don't care about this one, but I would pick Whole New World.
Still so better.
But these are both live action, or is this already...
No, this
Plastic
was
versus live action.
This was animation. This was the.
I'm gonna have to give the nod to the animation. The Whole New World.
Wait, it's Whole New World versus what?
Versus Reflection.
Reflection
new,
from
the new one,
Mulan. The
what were you gonna go with, Adam?
It's essentially the same song, Whole New World. Same person, but it's a newer version. But
yeah,
if I, had
I was
to
gonna go Whole New World easily.
Yeah, despite my frustrations with it winning the last round, I would pick it for this one because of that. But
you're never going to be able to listen to that song and enjoy it again, are you, Alan?
Not now.
You're going to be listening to it and be like, I want to listen to When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah. Fine.
Let's see which one has the most plays on his playlist.
Okay. How Far I'll Go from Moana versus The Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
How Far I'll Go.
Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, man. Like,
man, John, where is your hate for Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow? I mean, come on, man.
It's, I don't have any.
Every round, you just.
I don't have any hate. I just chose that because I know you were going to choose Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, and it was kind of like my protest vote for Grim Grinning Ghost being out.
Oh, no. So he's
so
bitter
I've
beans
made
about
no
that
friends
one.
Tonight on one bracket. Adam cannot ever forgive.
It's kind of like voting third party. You don't expect it to win, but you just feel good that you didn't vote for any other two crappy choices.
Well, that except they're both good choices this time.
Are you a Kennedy supporter?
No.
Is that what
John
you're
F?
Trying to say?
John F?
No, not that Kennedy. Robert.
Yeah, the JFK Elvis ticket.
Yeah.
Elvis Bigfoot.
Right. Oh, boy. Okay, so not quite the matchup I thought it would be, but a Whole New World from Aladdin versus Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. Is this the finals?
Wow.
Okay, wait.
Reach this too quick.
Let me think through this. We went through this whole bracket, and you're telling me When You Wish Upon a Star didn't make it to the finals?
Yeah. Gee, surprising.
Thanks to somebody.
Right? Big shot. I thought it would have been that versus Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, and then that would have been a really tough choice for me, actually.
Right.
This is not a hard choice.
I'm going to stick with A Whole New World, just because I liked it better.
I'm sticking with Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
So in three straight rounds, John has turned his back on Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. He's just not very optimistic. He's not seeing it shining at the end of every day.
I know.
No, I don't dislike the song by any means. I just don't like it better than the choices I've been faced with. So
this is a song we need for the future of Disney.
Exactly.
Right. You have to believe.
I just think that John, next time, well, we've never actually been to Disney together, but when we go, I'm going to force you to ride.
Hey, I'll be all right with
progress.
It. Progress. I'm fine with that. I don't dislike
10 times in a row.
Now is the time.
Maybe
now
we'll see some malfunctions if we do it that many times in a row.
Perhaps.
No, you will.
By the end, you might go. You might get so crazy, you'll go try to churn the butter on stage.
just to get out of there. Go ahead and ban me. That's terrible. Don't do that.
Yep. Well, it could be worse because you go try to jump in the bathtub with Uncle Orville. I mean,
yeah.
Never get any privacy around here.
All right.
Yeah.
You want? I'll show you non-privacy.
No privacy in this place.
Yeah. Well,
you freeloader.
What's it going to be? Do we save this for the very end? Since is this a hard choice?
Oh
man, I think I know it's going to win. It's not going to be Holy World. I know it. Y'all have already established that.
Oh, it's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You've already established what's going to win. I mean, come on.
We've been sitting here talking about it.
Well, let's think about this. It did turn out to be a classic Disney song, theme park related song. So, wow. I can't complain with that.
So,
what are you saying wow to now?
Because asked.
What three paragraph answer did AI
give? Yeah, I asked AI, and just cutting to the chase, it says, given the choice, its pick would be Whole New World. While There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow offers an uplifting message of hope and progress, A Whole New World encapsulates the essence of adventure and the joy of discovering the unknown with someone special. Hey. So, anyway.
There you go. John, sounds like you're siding with the AI this time. I can't decide which one of you is the robot.
Is the robot.
The one spending more time with AI.
So, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow is the greatest Disney song of all time. I think we would have gotten there had we had better songs.
Maybe.
Is there any missing song from the bracket that you would replace Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow with?
I just wanted to see the When You Wish Upon a Star Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow matchup. But
okay, well, let's go with the hypothetical. What would you have voted for, John?
Actually, I think I would probably go with When You Wish Upon a Star.
Wow. I would have been
against Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
You really
hate I know that it, so it sounds like I really do, but I just don't. I don't hate it. It's just not my preference between these songs that it's been faced with. So
it's going to be greatest Disney song of all time, and John won't vote for it once.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe once. It depends on what it goes up against early on. Actually, yeah, I did vote for it early on, didn't I?
I don't know. I have to look back at what it was up against the first turn.
I mean, if I didn't vote for it at all, like the whole tournament, that would be one thing.
Well, it was against One Little Spark, and I feel like you probably picked One Little Spark the first matchup. So you may not have ever picked
it. I may not have ever picked it. Yeah. So what was that brilliant thing we said? Oh, that would be a great idea for next year already.
You already forgot? The Disney Legends.
Well, I had the
Disney
Legends
and then the Disney Villains. Legend.
Formers. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, what was the first one that triggered this idea? I can't remember now.
It was the Bob Chapek versus Joe Rohde matchup.
Yeah. No, there was another one. There was someone that we mentioned. I forgot what it was.
Oh, Wally Bogue versus Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah, maybe that was it. That was it. That was what we came up with first.
So, yeah, no, that matchup goes back to our days when we chatted more often with the Parkeology folks, because I think that's their eternal battle.
Well, yeah. I interact with Parkeology on Twitter quite frequently because I enjoy their posts about the old stuff here.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Jason has a trip coming up.
You got 7 minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
You got a minute and a half.
I think it's going to be a great preview to listen to what I say this time. And then when I get back, hear what I actually did, because there could be a wide variance between what we
I almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
Well, right. There's actually a really fun challenge that you came up with. Well, I wouldn't call it, I guess, a challenge.
Yes.
And we kind of want to, we talked about discussing
workshop
details of it. Yeah. Like, so I don't think John's heard this yet. So.
Yeah. This is our blue sky project.
So
beyond the
Big Thunder. Never going to happen? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, kind of beyond Big Thunder, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Talk about it.
So, there's a couple of days when I'm there next week where I could do a traditional challenge. But sometimes you don't want to spend the whole day doing all day run around the park challenge, but
right.
I'm going to do something a little different. I'm deciding that I want to measure how fast I could start at the geyser at Big Thunder Mountain and get to the Millennium Falcon at Hollywood Studios, but the only mode of transportation I can use is monorail and Skyliner, and measure how fast I could get from one to the other.
Huh.
The workshop idea is it the quickest I can get between two points, or should I add some waypoints along the way to make me zigzag the park? And I think we're thinking just A to B. But we were looking it up, and if you go to Disney's website and you say, what's the best way for me to get from Big Thunder to the Millennium Falcon, it suggests you take the bus.
Yeah.
And it estimates your total walking and riding time to end up to be about an hour and, 10 minutes?
I think it was hour and 1 minute. It was hour 61 and 1 minute.
An hour and 1 minute. So the question is it theoretically possible to use monorail and Skyliner and get there faster than you could via bus?
I actually think this is a challenge that the bus could win.
Yeah. Well, it's because the bus isn't going to Epcot, so...
Well, I was going to say, the monorail has to take that stop at Epcot, but then you have to go from Epcot's monorail station
all the way to
Skyliner. International Gateway.
You're taking a lot more stops. Yeah. You're taking two monorails and two Skyliners.
I think that's the biggest issue right there, is having to walk across Epcot, the one that has the largest amount of space to walk across as it is, to complete this. So,
I can't. You don't think I can do it in an hour and 1 minute? So what would be your guess? Let's suppose I'm going maybe not into the night. We're 1 minute away from Seven Dwarfs Mine Train power walking that Adam and I tried to do.
Oh, rush. Yeah, no, right.
Like a couple of steps down. So that level of intensity, trying to go from A to B. How fast do you think I could do it?
And you're not true power walking.
I'm going to go at a normal challenge speed, not a... end of the night challenge speed.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about how long it takes for each point right off the top of my head.
So I think if you go from the geyser, you would take the path that gets you through the Country Bear Jamboree bathroom shortcut and then walk out through the front door. I think that's the fastest path out of Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Or you just Liberty Square bridge it.
I think that actually is not the straightest. It's not the shortest distance between two points in that case, though.
Well, there's some zigzagging, though. It depends on the crowd level, too, I would think.
But you have to walk that full distance.
Yeah.
You have to hope express monorail's there.
Yeah, if everything ran smoothly, I'd say you could probably do it an hour and 20 minutes.
Is that what you think?
So,
I'm going to say hour and a half.
Challenge. You said hour and a half?
Yeah, I'll say hour and a half. Just
in this challenge... If you were betting on, say, the hour and a half under, you take the under, which means you think
I take the under.
Go faster.
Yeah.
Which would you be sweating more, the monorail ride or the Skyliner ride, for whether or not you make the time?
Well, the other thing I was going to throw in there, not only do you have to walk all the way across Epcot, you have to travel the longest leg of the Skyliner and then change Skyliners.
Right. So the odds of the Skyliner at least stopping for a minute or two are pretty high, but the odds of the monorail taking a long time are even higher, I would say.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Isn't the Epcot line, once you get on the Skyliner, something like 15 minutes as it is? I mean, it's pretty long.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere.
I don't think it's 15. That sounds... I've taken a nice short nap on that line before, though.
Gosh, what is the...
It might be 12 minutes, but it's longer than this. Obviously, way longer than the others.
Right. What did they say the boat took? Was it like 25 minutes or something from Epcot to Studios? And
somewhere
the Skyliner was like half that or something. Not half that, but
like 5 minutes faster. So
it was several minutes faster. Maybe 10 minutes faster. I don't know. So,
well, it's because you have to go in the opposite direction.
But the monorail, that's the one, that's the bigger question mark, because you got to take two monorails.
Uh-huh. So when you're thinking about taking the under hour and a half, I'm just saying, Adam, you're going to be sweating the monorail ride a bit more.
I would, yeah. You're gambling there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You are gambling on that.
Another win for the Skyliner.
Are you?
Sure.
Isn't it the, maybe I got it wrong, maybe it's the resort line. Is it the resort line that can you can exit right into the Epcot line, or is it the Express one? I can't remember. Because you know on one of those, you can exit off and go straight to Epcot's monorail.
Yeah, I think
I forgot which one. That's
well,
what
I need to know this fact before I start my challenge.
That would have
which
to
one
be,
is it?
This could it have shave to be Express. Seconds off of the time.
Yeah, because you don't have to go down the ramp.
Yeah, it would have to be Express. Because the resort, I think, goes down the ramp where you have to go under the both tracks.
Back to the original void, I kind of want to
Because the resort's on the inside.
Yes.
So it is the Express. The Express, yeah, you can Express. Jump right off and go to the Epcot.
And go straight across. Yeah, I have done that before. Yeah. Now that I think about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, that's what, a minute of walking time? It's not that.
Well, it depends if a monorail happens to be right there at the time.
No, that's true. If there's one in the station final and the
boarding,
doors are open.
Final boarding.
You could just jump right on, yeah.
That could shave off a significant chunk of time.
That's true, because you might be waiting for that Epcot monorail for 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you got to do the agonizing, like, loop around the entire Epcot.
Yep. But you always like seeing pictures of the monorail doing the loop. You just don't want to be on it.
Yeah. And then you got to zigzag down the monorail station in through security again, then clock in.
Stop for Joffrey's right before you know, or... yeah.
So see, that was the other thing. Are we going to have these little challenges where you have to take a picture at a certain point of your journey?
Like... I have to get a picture with Barbas along the way.
Right. Well, that would be.
Was that a bonus challenge?
I'll get a margarita while I'm here. Why not? 3 hours later. Oh, I was supposed to finish this. My bad. Guess I better get back out there.
Yeah, the worst amazing racer ever.
Right.
He got to waypoint one, and he ran into Barbas.
Yeah, and it's over. So that was the other thing, John. What we're looking at the maps and everything, I was like, is Millennium Falcon actually the furthest point?
I was wondering why you chose Millennium Falcon.
That was my choice. I felt like it was the furthest point to walk into Hollywood Studios.
And after looking at the map, I think it is, because you would think like where Rise of the Resistance is, or maybe even the marketplace would be the furthest away, but when you look at it, like walking Millennium Falcon is as deep as you can get in the park.
I don't know. I think I've rope dropped.
It is, but
everything,
you know what?
There.
You know what would cause you the furthest walk to probably try and get to?
What?
Swirling saucers.
No, I've rope.
No matter which way you take, though,
I've
rope
dropped every ride almost in Hollywood Studios, and so when you rope drop it, you know they walk you up the initial rope. The shortest is, I feel, Tower of Terror. I would say saucers or Slinky are a little bit longer, but the walk into Millennium Falcon is like everybody's walking to Rise. And the one time I peeled off and went to Millennium Falcon instead, that was the longest rope drop walk I've done. So it's definitely the farthest.
Especially if you go,
it probably is.
Go the ABC Commissary way and then down. And then just go all the way to
That's the Falcon. Fastest way to get there, I think. I don't think going through Toy Story Land is faster.
You're going to have to walk it off now.
I know. Well, we looked at Disney's, the app, and it suggests taking the ABC Commissary way from the entrance.
If you're talking furthest points from one another, though, wouldn't it be maybe Big Thunder and then something in Animal Kingdom? I don't know.
But you can't get there on those two modes of transportation.
Right. Yeah, saying no bus is what he's saying, yeah. So it would be
not so far. You can't get there.
Something where you don't have to do bus.
We discussed that if you really want the furthest point in Magic Kingdom, I'd have to start at the Snoring Man at Tom Sawyer Island.
That's the furthest point.
Yeah,
and you'd have an excuse to ride the raft. Not that you need one.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that would be actually an interesting one, too.
So, of the three different ways to travel and ride something, would you be most worried about the rafts, the monorail, or the Skyline?
The rafts, no.
Well, let's think about this. The Skyliner has more stops, chances of more stops, but they usually don't last that long.
Right.
Monorail, you never know what could happen with that. I mean, it could be, you know, you could be without a door.
You could be held, though, for a while, depending on the train in front of it. If it's,
it could break down.
Or it could be the driver's last night and they decide to take it full throttle through the Contemporary one last time.
Maybe. There you go. It done. Well, hopefully you won't go through the Contemporary if you're doing Express on the way back. But
so you're going to start in Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
I feel like that's the best place to start, you know?
And just to throw this in there too, we were looking at the map and I was thinking, like, is Storybook Circus actually further away? But according to the walking, if you started from the train station to the entrance, it's a 1 minute shorter walk from there than it is from Big Thunder. So
now if we're talking from one attraction to the other, why don't you just do it both ways? You're going to go from, you're going to ride Big Thunder.
And then well, you could.
Then you're going to go take the trip and see how long it takes. Then once you're done, you're going to go back to Big Thunder and take by bus to see which one was the longest.
Wow. So let's see, a round trip.
Yeah.
Eh.
For our Beyond Big Thunder round trip?
I guess so. Yeah. You're going to take the monorail and the Skyliner, and then you're going to have to take the bus back just to see which one was truly quicker.
Huh. And then the other question is, which route should he take at Epcot? Does he?
Well, of course the Canada route.
Just make it quick, or do we make him walk the whole perimeter of World Showcase?
I mean, he just walks as far straight through as you can and go down.
Swim across.
Well, people have tried, apparently. A lot of people have
done. Are you saying which is faster, going the land route or going through straight through the middle? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Actually, what about if you, since that's another form of transportation, you take the Friendship boat from Canada to Morocco?
No. That would be way slower.
We'll just, yeah. But it's another transportation. Make him do it.
Okay. Take as many forms. Now you're making the objective to take as many forms of transportation as you can between Big Thunder and...
Basically. Except for bus, right?
Millennium.
Just no Falcon. Bus.
Except that one of them is a ride. Thank you very much.
Right. Sure.
The rafts. Yeah. Ride.
Yeah, I know.
Like he's going to have to take the rafts, then take a Main Street vehicle to the front.
I was going
to
say, like, you're going to catch a Main Street vehicle in the hub by the castle and then take it back to the front.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. Do you have to do one lap on the riverboat?
No. And then from there, since you're already going to have a monorail ride, you actually have to take the boat back to Poly, then get on the monorail.
So follow Sir Pooley for this. What day are you going to do it? Is this going to be out by the time?
Like I told you, we're going to come back to this, and it's going to be a completely different adventure. My plans are I have dinner booked every day that I may or may not go to. Because
you just have to have it in place.
Well, have an option in place. Sort of think of where I want to be. You know, I have a couple good ones. I have the sushi place I haven't been to booked.
The new one in Japan.
I have to do that. I have Enzo's Hideaway booked because I miss it.
Edwin.
Yeah. And I had a Monster Paul, but I decided that I've just really liked Chefs de France the last few times I've been there. So I just decided to go Chefs de France instead. And what else did I book? Oh, I have a Via Napoli, just like always. We always book a Via Napoli, and we still yet to
follow. You've got to do it. Try that pizza, man.
I was going to say, you always book a Via Napoli, but then never actually go?
Right, because we book it, and then somehow we're still at La Cava.
Yeah.
Oops.
That's kind of how I used to be with Animal Kingdom Lodge.
There.
There's no telling how many times I actually booked it initially and never stayed in this.
Yeah. Right. I've remembered the shows all this time, guys. I'm booked Animal Kingdom Lodge. You really sprung for it this time.
Then I finally did it.
And then we're staying at Car Suite.
Yeah.
That's what the real odds makers put it on. John books a trip and they place bets on how accurate his trip preview from the first episode to when he actually takes the trip
is. Especially
yeah.
if you take one and you book it so far out and you have more opportunities to change.
Yep. Well, we've decided we're going to stay for 3 nights and we're going to do one at Legoland. Oh, wait, no, we're going to... 3 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge. That's part of the fun, though, is you know, optimizing up to the very last minute.
Well, I remember like when you're booking, let's say way in advance, the rooms that are harder to get, you want to do those way well in advance, right?
Right.
And then as time goes on, if you get a better deal on something, you switch it, of course.
So, yeah. Well.
So is there anything else for me to say about this trip other than I'm playing it by ear? I want to see Luminous, which I haven't seen. I haven't watched on YouTube either.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see your
right, see it live.
You may have a room where you can see it
right.
or in the room.
Well,
right?
This is the DVC stay, 7 nights, Riviera Tower Studio.
So it depends. You could get the Epcot view or the resort view. You don't know yet?
I don't, but there's very few, I think, that can't see Epcot, even in a... Like, I remember I had one where I had to turn my head to the right last time I stayed in the Tower Studio to see it, but...
Okay.
That's it.
James has a trip coming up in May in which they're doing... they've rented points at Riviera.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Are you going in... was it June? You still thinking June?
Yeah, I mean, the kids want to do it. It's probably going to be a shorter trip, but the kids want to do one after Olivia graduates kindergarten.
All right, you heard it here, folks. First, place your bets. Will it be a shorter trip or a longer trip?
Find out. Animal Kingdom Lodge or...
Yeah, find out in 6 episodes of Travelers for Less.
I will say the first one is a pretty good probability it's going to be an Art of Animation suite, actually. So then you place your bets on which one.
Are you going to bring your
mom?
I'm
going to guess Nemo.
Cars.
I think I'm leaving Nemo because of the convenience.
Oh,
okay.
Oh right, because central.
Centralized, yeah.
The big blue pool.
Yeah, to both the big blue pool, the front, and the Skyliner, actually.
So I quickly threw this into...
Your AI overlord?
Yeah, AI, which...
Skynet.
It's interesting what it threw together. So, quick matchups. We'll just this very fast.
Okay, rapid
fire.
Okay, I'll go first, John, you go second, and then Adam, you
okay.
Third.
Okay, so animators and Imagineers is this first category. The first one, Walt Disney versus Ub Iwerks, the founder versus the man who helped him create Mickey Mouse.
Disney.
Yeah.
I think we just got our winner.
I was like a 1 versus
so
a 16.
Walt, like Walt, right. Okay, number two.
One of these is going to be like Walt Disney versus Wally Bogue and
right. Yeah, right. Well, the second matchup in this category, well, there's only 2 matchups per category, but Mary Blair versus Mark Davis.
Ooh.
Davis.
Mary Blair.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You were supposed to go first.
No, we're good.
Mary Blair. I would go Davis.
I mean, he did a lot of great work, but iconic. Come on, Mary Blair.
I mean, sure.
Wouldn't have the mural. True, it's true.
True, but there's a lot that Mark Davis did. That anyway. Voice actors. Let's keep going. Sterling Holloway versus Jim Cummings. Sterling Holloway originally voiced Winnie the Pooh, Cheshire Cat. Jim Cummings does it currently. He's still kind of older, but he does the current Winnie the Pooh. So it's like Pooh versus Pooh.
Yeah, this feels like a category for Adam here, where is not the real voice.
Yeah. Well, when you think, like, I remember the guy who originally, yeah, I know who he is. I don't know if I would, like, Jim Cummings, I know, like, he does, like, tons of voices, so it's not just Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
That's like one of the first things I expected him to comment on with the Tiana's Bayou Adventure. It's like, oh, that didn't sound like Tiana.
Well, I gotta say, though, he does Winnie the Pooh just as good as the original, honestly. So I gotta say, he's incredible. So I would probably.
I was gonna let Jason give his answer.
I'm just going
with Adam on this. I feel like I deferred to him because this is his expertise, is, you know, which voice actor sounds most authentic to how he wants.
Jim Cummings is really good.
So I would go with Cummings, and my reasoning is because not only does he do a good job of impersonating the original Pooh, but he also does like Darkwing Duck, and he did the intro to Reflections of Earth, you know.
Yeah, he does a lot more than just that. Jodie Benson versus Paige O'Hara, so voice of Ariel versus voice of Belle for the original.
Mm-hmm.
Animated. You gotta go Jodie Benson. Oh, sorry, I'm going out of work.
I'm going with Belle.
Sorry.
What was it?
You know who I'm voting for.
Jodie Benson?
I feel like you gotta go with that.
I really like them both, so I'm really kind of torn on this one. I think I'm gonna go with Jodie Benson, though. Yeah.
Okay, so Jodie wins that one.
It was hard for me to be rapid there.
I know. So this is cool. Live action stars. We have Julie Andrews versus Dick Van Dyke.
Oh my! All right.
Mary the same Poppins movie. Versus Mary versus Bert. Like,
Mary Poppins. Julie Andrews.
Dang.
I think I like Dick Van Dyke's versatility. Like, he's been in multiple Disney ones, where Julie Andrews wasn't.
Right. I feel like I gotta go Dick Van Dyke too, because he's, you know, he's.
Well,
not
he's also
just
in
Bert,
the second but... Mary. He's in the second Mary Poppins.
Right. That too. Okay, this is a tough one because, yeah, live action stars as well. Johnny Depp versus Harrison Ford.
Oh, my.
What the?
I guess Johnny Depp comes with all the baggage as well.
Well, it is. Jack Sparrow versus Indiana Jones or Han Solo.
I'm thinking Johnny Depp just because I feel like he's more Disney than... Because he's done more Disney stuff than Harrison Ford.
Yes, because Pirates is Disney.
Harrison Ford is truthfully Lucasfilm acquired by Disney. That's the difference to me.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, if we were going to measure most successful actor, obviously.
Well, yes.
Harrison Ford for me.
I can't not go with Harrison Ford. So I'm, even though John makes a great point about the Disney versus Lucasfilm thing, I can't go against Harrison Ford. He's like, you know. Anyway,
Harrison Ford.
Okay, last one is executives and contributors. So Roy O. Disney versus Michael Eisner.
Ooh, man, that is controversial.
The brother and business partner of Walt versus the CEO led through.
What's interesting about this choice is 80s. Both of these individuals are vital to Disney's long-term success.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm going to go with Roy O. for, you know, finishing the project, Florida project.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a time.
On one hand, you got to question.
It's hard to rapid fire this.
You got to question whether or not there would be. Yeah, it is. You got to question whether or not the Florida project would have been completed without Roy.
Yeah, I know.
It likely would have, but would have been the same. I guess I'll have to go with Roy just because there probably wouldn't be a Michael if Roy didn't finish it, I guess.
Well, see, that's why I was like, I would look at them as not, well, you can't have one without the other kind of thing, because just side by side, judging them on what they did and...
Well, like I said, they're both vital because you question whether or not...
Well, of course.
Florida would have been completed without Roy, then you also question whether or not Disney would have been broken up without Michael.
Who built the better park?
Who built the better park?
Magic Kingdom versus
technically
what?
Eisner built two of them.
No, and Euro and Disney.
He built three of them. Yeah.
Yeah, Euro. And he started Cruise Line. So, I mean, there's a lot that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he revitalized the movies, the animated
he is the
and
last,
live action.
He is the last CEO at this point to oversee the building of a park.
Well, what do you mean, built? Like,
a full park.
Yeah,
Shanghai wasn't, or
that was already in place, wasn't it?
Shanghai wasn't. Not when.
Yeah, that's an Iger one.
When is Shanghai open?
2016.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Hong Kong may have been Iger.
Okay, he's started, the last person to oversee a domestic park. How about that?
Well, they, yeah, sure. A new one. All right. I mean, Roy already won that one, so it doesn't matter what my vote was.
I was thinking of Hong Kong, obviously, not Shanghai. What was
Yeah. But Bob Iger versus Frank Wells.
Oh, wow. Straight Wells.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Wells.
Well, Wells would have won. I probably would have gone Iger.
Iger's been more of a maintainer than he has been a builder.
He brought in all those properties.
Acquisition.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, that I don't. It's questionable as whether or not that was for the best interest.
Well, yeah, I think the 20th Century Fox is the one that they were maybe saddled with the most debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, like I said, the thing is, there is questionable as to whether it's been in the best interest. But we'll, you know, time will tell. I guess.
Do we bother doing a round two of this? Or
yes. I bet the odds makers have a heavy favorite. Let's hear it.
Walt Disney versus Mark Davis.
Wow.
Well. Even though I love you, Mark.
I'll go with Walt Disney for 100. Alex?
Yes.
Wow, okay. I guess I'll go with Walt. Like, no. Of course, like, okay, Jim Cummings versus Jody Benson. Wasn't Jody that won that one? Yeah, Jody Benson.
Oh my! That's the other side of the bracket. It's
Pooh versus Ariel.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Now,
yeah.
What? Who's gonna win the final?
Actually, it's a number of characters versus Ariel.
Yeah, I think I would go with Jim Cummings on this one. Actually,
I think I would too.
It's a sweep.
The Jim Man of Many Voices. Yeah. So
Jim
yeah.
Cummings versus Walt Disney. Walt.
Jim Cummings. So then we have Dick Van Dyke versus Harrison Ford.
Well,
okay, Harrison's I'm going to have to give that one to Harrison.
All right, yeah, Harrison Ford. Wow. Roy Disney versus Frank Wells. Roy.
Roy.
Okay. All right, so Roy.
Roy. Oh.
So then we have Walt versus Jim Cummings.
In the heavyweight corner.
Yeah. I feel like Walt has destroyed every person in his path.
Yeah. Walt wins that one.
Okay, so Walt wins that side. Harrison Ford versus Roy O. Disney.
I'm going to make this a brother matchup. I'm going to say Roy.
Roy.
I would have said Harrison Ford.
So it's Roy,
so
versus,
Roy
Walt.
Versus Walt.
Hey, at least Roy it made it fair.
Big shot.
Wait. Is it Roy or is it Walt? Brother feud has to be. It's been in
the money guy versus
for all this time, and they've always wanted to settle this once and for all.
Which is, well the funny thing is this would not have happened without either of them.
Right.
So
Walt was the dreamer. Roy made it happen. So
right.
What are you going to do?
I think it's more, well, no, I can't.
It's a tie. You just can't have one without the other.
You would have some product without Walt. Maybe not the best product. You would have without Roy.
Well,
it just doesn't get off the ground. It all stays in Walt's head, pretty much.
Right, you'd have ideas.
It would be Universal's ideas at this point. Right? Like
Roy wouldn't have come up with these ideas without Walt. So
Walt would essentially be working for Universal without Roy.
It's like a chicken or the egg situation. That's not necessarily true.
I'm just going to say Walt because it's named after
it's
it.
It's Walt.
It's Walt. Yeah, of course. It's got to be Walt.
It's the Walt Disney Company.
I just wanted to see Harrison Ford versus Walt Disney.
Seriously?
That's what I was hoping.
Who shot first?
That would have been funny. So that was a taste of what we'll do next year.
Well, we just did it.
But we won't do Walt. Like Walt,
we won't do that.
Be in it.
Yeah,
like, Walt
there's no way. That's like not even fair.
Yeah, you can't have Walt.
Best American general, George Washington versus
what? Patton. I don't know.
What was his name? Schwarzkopf.
Storm and Norman.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So many brackets for next year.
Yeah. Lots to do.
on our Patreon. So
maybe. All right. But what? Where can we be found out there on the interwebs?
Well, you have Facebook. You have Brandex. You have Instagram. So we also have a Spreadshirt store, in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. And we have a YouTube channel as well. And where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwithamouse.com. We have an email address, podcast@travelingwithamouse.com. And there's links to all that and more there on our website. So for Jason and John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse. We hope you will join us on our next trip.
What's up, everybody?
Actually, here's another tagline we could use. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep believing, and keep traveling with the mouse.
I see.
Terrible. Absolutely.
Is that what Skynet told you?
Yeah, exactly. It is, actually.